welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Fun fact about myself, I'm Eli. I have a dog named Kuda, and I have a family too, but my dog matters the most in my life. If you ever get to meet my dog, he's a little short thing that barks a bit too much, but he loves a game of fetch. He loves eating food that isn't dog food, so yeah, just make sure you don't come around dinner time and you should be all good. Cool. Well, we're going to jump into, I guess, a discussion about this guy in the Bible, and his name is David. And I'm sure you guys have heard of David before. There's a whole bunch. Like, you can read the book and you'll find out a lot more about him. The book being the Bible, of course. And this guy named David, we learn about him as being one of Jesse's sons, the youngest of eight, they say. And there's an account very early on in the Bible where Samuel comes. He's told by God to come and anoint David to be the next king of Israel. This young shepherd boy that looks after sheep, that fights off bears and lions, never done that. That sounds hectic, crazy, don't want to do it. But this young guy that was underrated, not even represented amongst the brothers that Jesse brought to be anointed, was chosen to be king. We find out later on that he would be running from the king that was jealous of him in that moment and fleeing for his life. The fact that he survived was a miracle in and of itself. We find out that he would slay Goliath. And that's crazy. Just a small young shepherd boy, the tiniest, most underrated guy in the Bible, would slay this crazy giant. We hear a lot about David. There's so much to love. You read the Psalms and man, you tear up. Sometimes, most of the time. Psalms are powerful. They're awesome. And they move your heart, seriously, in different moments. This guy named David, crazy underrated. And I love in the Bible that he's called a man after God's own heart. And can I tell you, I've read that countless times and been like, yeah, man, this guy is awesome. But I definitely had this moment where I looked and said, he's called a man after God's own heart. But are we really going to overlook the fact that he fell short in a moment? If you know about this guy named David, you know that he had short fallings. You know about Bathsheba. You know that he fell short according to his fleshly desires. He didn't pursue the desires of God in that moment. He pursued his own lustful desires. And he ended up sleeping with this woman. He ended up putting her husband on the front line. And it's crazy the lengths that he went to. But the crazy thing is that God redeemed this man. He took him from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs. And God uses people that you would never expect. And the crazy thing, even more so, is that he was called a man after God's own heart. God, fully aware of the decisions that he would make, fully aware of the man that he would become, called him a man after his own heart. That's a declaration that God spoke, and his word doesn't return void. No matter what happens situation-wise, no matter what happens in your life, I want to encourage you this morning. God's spoken over you. Regardless of your situation, your decisions, your shortfallings, the patterns of behavior that you follow, or the generational stuff you think that you can't shake, God's spoken over you. His word doesn't return void. I love this guy named David because his redemption story brings life about. It brings life into us. And the cool thing is the second time that he is spoken of as a man after God's own heart is by a guy named Paul. Man, if you know Paul, you know that he would call himself the worst of all sinners. And yet he was redeemed by Jesus. Man, God chooses every single person. He chooses the worst of the worst to the greatest. And let me tell you that he has greater dreams than you could imagine. This guy named Paul, it was his testimony that God would use the lowest of the low, the worst of all sinners. And he saw David, redeemed him. He sees you, he redeems you. He sees me, he redeems me. We're going to jump into a verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And it's awesome because let me tell you, God isn't afraid of your questions. I had a question mark when reading this and I was like, God, what is going on? Can you tell me? And this is where he landed me. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. It's a powerful verse, right? Yeah. What does this mean for us? The old is gone. The old life, everything we've ever known, the patterns of behavior, the things that we once held on to in our own strength, in our own abilities, yeah. It's gone. The new has come. The new life is here. What Jesus purchased for you on the cross, that's here. What Jesus did in a moment in time solved all of your problems that are caused by your flesh in one moment. And let me tell you, we might not feel like we're completely whole in a moment, but when you give God every moment, you become completely whole according to his grace, according to what he did. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, meaning you, me, David, Paul, anyone is in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come, the new creation is here. We're going to pray because I want God to move. I really want him to speak in this moment. So Father, would you speak? Would you highlight things in our lives? We want to be more like you, less like us. And I pray that you'd soften our hearts right now to hear from you, no matter where we are at, because we know that we're better off with you in our lives. And so, yeah, we give you this morning. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. 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 Cool. Well, we're going to jump around the Bible a little bit this morning. You guys ready to do that? Yeah, cool. Awesome. Exodus 16, verse 1 to 3. We'll get there in a second. Let me give you some context. We're going to be reading three verses. And so if I didn't give you context, you'd be like, what the heck is going on? Cool. Awesome. So pretty much we jump into a passage in the history of Israel where they had just been in captivity, slavery, for 400 years. And what's crazy is that God had these people on his heart. He had promises. He had dreams. He spoke to Abraham years and years ago about how descendants would come and that this nation would be a mighty nation, that kings would be on the throne and that the Savior of all the world would come through the lineage of Abraham, through David, would come into Israel. And yet we find that the Israelites are in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. Not a single person that was living in that moment knew what it was like to be on the side of freedom. People had been born, died, had kids, born, died. Generations had gone by and the only thing that was ingrained in their mind was slavery. All that they'd ever known was to be subject to another person, to not be free, to not be walking in the fullness. This is the picture God's given us. He's given us dreams, this amazing land, the promised land, the stuff that we would one day inherit. And yet we find ourselves in this middle ground wondering, when will that day ever come? Will it come? 400 years is a lot of time. Anyone here and you're like, yeah, God, you didn't respond to me 2 days ago, so I'm going to go talk to my mate. That's not 400 years, hey. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We're all guilty. We're going to walk out of here not guilty of that. No, hopefully not 400 years. But we find out that these guys, 400 years on, are sent this guy named Moses, also an unlikely candidate. And he walks in and sees God move time and time again, miracle after miracle, to the point where Pharaoh releases the people out and they start walking. And as they're on hot pursuit and the Egyptians are chasing them, there's fire behind them, God parts open the waters, it's a miracle. They make it to the other side and they are free from the past, but they're not yet in the future. They're not yet in the promises of God. And so we stumble into this passage where the Israelites, they're just waiting. Will it be another 400 years? Will it be another 10 days? Who knows when the promises of God will come to pass? But this is what it says. Exodus 16, verse 1 to 3. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they'd come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt." It's crazy, hey? How can you rationalize that? You've been in slavery your entire life. This is what you've longed for, freedom, to walk into the promises of God. Yet you're saying, if only we had died in Egypt, in slavery. There is so much more for us if only we would take a few more steps. If only we would remain faithful to the call of Christ. Their mentality, they might not have liked what their past looked like. They might not have liked what they had been a victim to or the things that had happened to them or the situation they were in. But hey, at least they knew where they were and at least they knew when their next meal was coming. At least they knew their day to day. At least they were comfortable with where they were at. Because the future, the promises God had for them, man, his word does not return a void. His promises remain and they remain for us today. But you can understand why they'd be thinking, is it going to be another 400 years? Who knows what's going to happen? Are we going to stay in this desert? And man, it's been hot in Perth, right? 37 degrees, but imagine being in a desert where you can't see any water, you've got no air conditioning on you, you don't have a fan in your room, so it's a tough time. These guys are waiting here, they don't know when their next meal is coming, and in their questioning, instead of looking forward to the promises of God, they start looking back at what they had, and they start looking longingly, to the point where they wanted to be slaves, to the point where that's the life that they had set apart for themselves. And what's crazy about this moment is that they started, yes, taking a step forward at a time towards the promises of God, but instead of wholeheartedly running into the freedom that he had for them, they were carrying pieces of their past. They're carrying little bits with them, you know, maybe mindsets or mentalities. I don't want to get my hope up because what did that do to me before? Our people, we got stuck in slavery for 400 years, so I'm not going to bring hope with me. I'm holding on to that mentality, that mindset where I can't get hurt. And I'm going to bring that with me. I'm going to bring the hurt, the pain, the frustration, whatever it may be, the guilt, the shame. And they're going to walk with a crutch into the freedom that God has for them one step at a time. You can never run completely free if you don't let go of the pieces of your past. I'm going to say it like this. To walk in the promises of God, we need to let go of the pieces of our past. Wow. Yeah, let that sink in, hey? I'm doing that right now. That's why I'm staying quiet for a bit. To walk in the promises of God, we need to let go of the pieces of our past. Yeah, and it's challenging, right? Because, you know, there's so much good that we've taken from tough experiences. But there's also things that we carry with us that God never asked us to carry. Things that deprive us from the fullness of what God has in store for us. And for us, maybe it's a protective mechanism we have in our mind that stops us from putting ourselves out there to the point where I don't want to get hurt. And so I put all these boundaries, these walls up in my life because I don't want to press in and then maybe it falls to the ground. I don't want to be faithful and then nothing happens. And we stay in our own little box following the call of God, but in our own limitation. There is so much more for you. There is so much more for me. And I don't want to live my life in a box, man. I don't want to live my life holding on to the pieces of my past and miss out on running with the fullness of what God has for me. You know what running with the fullness of God looks like? It looks like me leaving a generational impact, you guys leaving a generational impact that impacts people to come. You guys know the relay races? They pass on the baton from one person to the next, and your part is important. The thing that you play is important. And this is what I want to encourage you with. God has bigger dreams than you could imagine. And if we would let go of the things that have held us back years and years gone by and just give him one step at a time, and start to run, you would see that God is wanting to release more over your life. He's wanting to release more things in you. The title for my message this morning is, and if you've been in youth, you guys probably know where this is going. I preached this one before. It's called Burn the Ships. It's a goodie. You'll understand why we're not going to be burning any ships this morning. Pretty much, I'm going to bookmark where we were and we'll come back. There was a guy in history and his name was Hernan Cortes, and he was a Spanish conquistador, and I had no idea what that word meant too, so I looked it up. He was like a leader of the olden day kind of navy, the forces that would go out and march out on Spain's behalf to extend their borders, their parameters. They would go into other nations and, you know, back in the old times, man, there was battles between nation after nation trying to take ground and extend their significance, I guess. And so he led this fleet of ships to the shoreline of this one continent or this one place, this one time. And here's the details I've left out. Many people before him had done the same thing time and time again, and not one group of people, not one nation had been successful. The audacity, the boldness, the courage to be able to step out and to stand on this ground and say, hey, we're going to be the first ones to do it. Despite the fact that there could be catastrophic outcomes for that group of people. But here's what happens. They land on the shores of this nation. They look up and then they look back. What lays ahead of them is potential victory. What lies behind them is their escape, the thing that they have comfort in. I don't know if you can see where this is going. They were looking back at the ships. How can you fully embrace and fully run after the thing that lay ahead of you if you start to look back at what you find complete comfort in? And it might not be the best situation. We might not be able to have the testimony on the other side, but at least I'm comfortable. At least I know what I'm settling for. At least, you know, I'll come out the other side of this thing. Hernan Cortes gives the order, burn the ships. Crazy. And you know what? They did it. They burnt every single one of their ships. There's no going back. You burn the ships. You can't swim back to your country. That's a little crazy. They burnt the ships and they marched on, and they were the very first nation to take victory in that land and extend their borders. And yeah, it's a crazy story. Yeah, it's not in the Bible, but I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say from this story. That if you would only look forward to the victory that lay ahead of you, because God goes before you. He stands victorious. If you would only look forward to it and stop looking back, stop carrying the pieces of your past with you, but let go and run forward into the new day, the new thing. The old has gone, the new has come. If we would only look forward to what he has for us, man, we would truly find what's on the other side of that thing. And I want to keep on declaring the things that God's spoken over this house. I want to keep on declaring, man, four services is scary, right? But we want four services. We want to have a building that extends because we've got way too many people. We want to see, and not for numbers' sake, we want to see revival in this place. And if we would stop looking back and going, oh, maybe it was a disappointing experience, I don't know. If we would let go of the past experience, embrace new hope, embrace new freedom, embrace a new victorious mindset with our family, with our friends, with our work environment, with whatever space it may be, whether it be mental health or frustrations, there is a new thing God wants to do in you. And hey, I haven't been in every single person's situation. I can't say that I know what it's like to be you. But what I do know is that God cares about you. And he isn't just this big ultimate being. He's a relational being, and he knows. He cares. I'm speaking his word, not my fundamental thought. I'm speaking his word over you this morning. And he knows, he cares, and he's speaking this morning. I hope you can hear it. Come, take a step. Let go. I didn't call you to hold these things, and it's doing more damage to you than you feel like it is. You might feel safe and comfortable, but today is the day to take a step. And you may have realized 2020 wasn't the greatest of years. 2021, do we know what's in store? I have no idea what's in store. But what I do know is that God's in control. He's still on the throne. He always will be. And I'm not going to walk with the disappointment of yesterday into a fresh new opportunity. I hope you guys can see that, yeah? Let's make that our decision this year. We're going to walk regardless of the past, regardless of situations or circumstances, with a new victorious mindset. This is a church that God set apart. I so believe that. I believe in the call in this house, the call of the leadership that we have. And I believe that every single one of you isn't here by a mistake or a chance or whatever. God has intended purposes and plans for you. And that's what excites me, because I look around this room and there are people that every single one of you can impact, can influence, just because you choose to let go of the old and embrace who he is. That's what shines brightest in this world. This world needs Jesus. Burn the ships. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. We're jumping back into it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We talked about David. We talked about how he was someone that had all his shortfallings for sure, but God still spoke over him and his word didn't change. How easy is it to say that for someone else? Yeah, no, you've stuffed up, you've had this mindset and you'll get better, but how much harder is it for ourselves to believe that over ourselves, right? I can't be the only one. It's so easy to say what the Bible says over someone else, but then believing it for me in my day to day, man, that can be tough sometimes, you know, anyone else? But the word of God remains for you today. David, I'm so glad that he didn't just give up because, you know, I've fallen short. God can't use me. He took a hold of what God spoke over him once and he let that impact his entirety, his day to day, every single day. What God's spoken over you remains. And then you jump back in time, Abraham. This guy, it's like the father of the faithful. This guy was chosen to be a father of many nations. He was set apart and for sure he had his shortfallings too. God gave him a promise that him and Sarah would have a child and that they would give birth to many nations, and it wasn't seeming like it was going to come to pass, but we find out that he ends up taking matters into his own hands with his servant girl and having another child, but it wasn't the one God intended. God loved this child, but God still had a plan to use him, and even though he took things into his own hands, God still blessed him, poured out his favor, because he came back to the fundamental faith, the fundamental thought that God's word still remains. And eventually, we saw the nation of Israel that we've just been talking about come to be. We see the lineage where David would one day, I think it's 14 generations, either 7 or 14, later on would rise up to be a king, and then 7 or 14 more, Jesus would rise up to be the king of all. You, when you run, when you pass on the baton, when you run truly free, generational impact comes about. One more guy. You don't have to look far in the Bible to find stuff like this. Hey, every single person, the whole Bible, it's like a redemptive story. Hey, we are lost without God, for real. We got nothing without him. I hope you know that. Hey, like we have nothing without Jesus. You don't have to look far. And there's another guy, Peter, full on denies Jesus, said he wouldn't, denies Jesus as he's going to the cross. And yet Jesus redeems him, says, "You are Peter, Petros, rock. Upon this rock, I'll build my church." Peter, redeemed. "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me?" Yes. Peter was chosen just as much as any of these other people, despite his shortfallings, despite mindsets that have felt inhibiting, restricting. And I don't know if anyone out there is feeling the same way, that maybe you've had big dreams or you've seen other people pursuing God and it looks amazing, but you feel like you're just walking with a crutch. And maybe it's something from the past. Maybe it's a mindset that you carry. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's a lack of hope. But I want to tell you, if it's possible for these guys and God chooses the worst of all sinners, if he chooses these people to show his glory about, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect, then he can do the same thing in every one of us this morning. God doesn't see the past as a disqualifier, but his promises remain. And he's calling us to leave behind the old and run with the new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I've said it once, twice. I'm going to say it a third time, but in the Amplified. And if I could get worship team to join me, that'd be awesome. It says, "Therefore," and this one's a little bit longer, so bear with me. "If anyone is in Christ," that is, if you are grafted in or joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Spiritual awakening brings a new life. The previous condition has passed away. The things that you've held on to, maybe this morning you're wrestling, you're like, "Oh, don't go there. I don't want to respond. I'm sitting here. I'm just going to stay in my comfort zone." That's up to you. But I want to put it out there that the best life you can live is when you decide, "God, I'm going to lay it down again. And God, I pray that you would bring about a spiritual awakening in my life." We don't need more of this and that. We just need more of Jesus. And so it doesn't matter this morning where you're at. You may feel like you've stuffed up, you've fallen short, and man, what am I even doing in this place? Maybe you feel like you've got it all together. Cool. I don't feel that way. But I know that every single one of us can use more of Jesus in our lives, because I know he has more for us in store than what we can imagine. I want you to have big dreams. I don't want you to walk away from this place complacent. My heart is that every one of you would come away with dreams that are too big to sustain in your own strength. That you come away with God dreams for your family, for your friends, for people that maybe you'd had hope for, that they would find Jesus and they still haven't. You'd come away with dreams and new hope that is not inhibited by any past experience, that isn't held back by anything that has gone by. I want you guys to dream big. I want you guys to believe that this move that's going on right here, just like the early church, can explode out of nothing. I want you guys to believe again and again and again. The old is gone, the new has come. And I've been speaking a lot. And I guess there's a lot of ways this can apply to us. It can apply in the labels that we wear. Maybe someone spoke something over you. You've held on to that for far too long. Man, this stuff that we hear as children that can stay with us for our entire lives if we don't deal with it, with Jesus. Maybe it's even just the hatred you held towards a person. So easy to hate people. So easy to hate someone that's hurt you. Maybe it's time to let go of that this morning. Maybe it's that sin issue you haven't been able to shake. And you feel like you're abusing God's grace time and time again because you find yourself here at the lowest of lows. Maybe it is that mindset that's been debilitating or holding you back. The old has gone. Come on. We should be excited about that. The old has gone. When Jesus died on the cross, he purchased us new life. And it's not just one opportunity, you've blown it. There are new mercies for you every single day. The old has gone, the new has come. Man, I want to encourage you. God is speaking to you this morning and saying, just do it. Just go for it. It's a simple gospel. He doesn't tell you to tick all these boxes before you can embrace him. Run to the Father. Let him deal with the mess after it all. We just need more of Jesus. We need to burn the ships. If we want to march forward into the things God has for us, it's time to burn some of those things that have been holding us back for far too long. It's time to lay it down and to give it to Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.